This just in. Body odor is officially canceled for good this time. Unlike certain other DOs, Lumi Whole Body Deodorant is powered by mandelic acid to deliver outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere from your pits to your feet, and yes, even your privates. In fact, it was patients' concern about private part odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that equals over 40% off their starter pack. Use code RATCHET15 for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's code RATCHET15 at LumiDeodorant.com. You are in for a treat because support for today's episode comes from Jeanie Kane. I finally found a uniform I'm completely obsessed with. Jeanie Kane is a California brand through and through, and their staples make getting dressed easier than it's ever been before. Think minimalist and effortless, but totally refined. Find your new uniform at JeanieKane.com. Our listeners get 15% off your first order when you use code RATCHET at checkout. That's 15% off your first order. JeanieKane.com. Promo code RATCHET. Let getting dressed be one less thing to worry about.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and those who don't identify as either, you are listening to Ratchet and Respectable. Thank you so much to all the people who've written in. Last episode, I talked about having insomnia, like really, really bad insomnia. And lots of you wrote in to diagnose me. I was like, half the people that wrote in think I'm experiencing perimenopause. The other half think I should return to America because my time zones are all mixed up. My mother is in that division. And then another crew are people who are also experiencing insomnia. Apparently, this is very common among Black women. But it sent me sleeping tips, everything from the time that I should stop eating, I shouldn't be drinking, no alcohol after 3 p.m., no difficult TV shows with heavy subject matter, or even difficult conversations, heavy subject matter after 7 p.m., limit screen time on phones, also just go plop myself in the bed and lay there in the dark at the time that I would like to be sleeping. And just let hopefully darkness and nature take its course. I'm willing to try anything at this point. I told one of my friends who sent me sleeping tips, look, at this point, Benadryl, melatonin, heroin, whatever it takes to nod off at this point, because my schedule is, the last couple of days, it's been really bad. I go to sleep at 9 a.m. I don't get tired until somewhere around 7:30, and that's when I can actually go lay in the bed, because otherwise I'm like wide awake, like the sun is up. I lay in the bed around 7:30, and then I can't fall asleep, even if I just lay there until around 9 a.m., and then I wake up at 5 p.m. It's hell. Like, I missed the entire day. I told you previously that I got a gym membership and I booked some classes. It doesn't really affect the gym membership. I still go. But the classes, I never know when I'm going to actually be awake. So it's really difficult for me to book these exercise classes. And I really want to start this training. Or I just like to, you know, go to brunch, go to lunch, go, I don't know, see the great outdoors when the sun is actually up, get my nails done, get my lashes done. But it's hard to plan anything because, like, I don't know when I'll actually be awake and functioning. Like today, I woke up around 1 p.m. and I tried to like push through and function, but I was like bumping into things and dropping things. And I was like, oh, I'm not fully awake. And I had to go back to bed. I don't know what the hell is going on. This is probably the point at which I should see a doctor. I thought I just had jet lag because it didn't start until I got to Cape Town. And Cape Town is only 2 hours off of Ghana. When I left the States and went back to Ghana, I was fine. I don't know, but it's really frustrating. I watched all of Abbott Elementary. I mean, it's only 20 minutes per episode. It's on Hulu, American Hulu. You know, I'd be on here all the time, like rooting for the Quinta, because, you know, I root for everybody Black. And she was racking up awards. I've been very happy for her career trajectory, but I didn't fully get the hype because I wasn't watching the show. But I did finally watch. It's an amazing show. Stuff about Black people that white people tend to like really enjoy and fawn over and celebrate. Very rarely is an image of Black people that Black people actually like. So I was a little nervous. I mean, I had faith in Quinta. I had faith that Cheryl Lee Ralph, who's on the show, obviously, because everybody's watched this show except me. I had faith that Cheryl Lee Ralph wouldn't be involved in no BS. She's been in Hollywood for like 50 years and is a woman of good standing and great integrity. But there's also, you know, that Good Time show. And some of those folks were in good Black standing too. And they fucked that up. That's a whole separate story. That's not the point. I watched Abbott Elementary and I love it. I think it's just masterful writing, character development, acting. The writer's room needs a raise. The kids are cute as shit. It's amazing, wonderful TV. And I was sad when I got to the last episode. I mean, the last episode is available on Hulu. I'm waiting for the new season to come down. I love it. What's the Everybody Hates Chris? I talked about him before. I think he walked Cheryl Lee Ralph to the stage at an award ceremony. I'm pulling up his name right now. What is his name? Because I remember last time I called his name on here, I think I called him by his Twitter handle instead of his actual name. Tyler James Williams. I love their chemistry on the show. I love everything about that show. I think it's a perfect show. The principal is my favorite character. I think she's just out of her mind. It's not that she reminds me of my friend. The way she speaks, her vocal inflections and her tone remind me of my friend. I kept watching the show and my friend just kept popping in my head. And I was like, oh, I need to call her. We need to schedule a FaceTime. And I couldn't figure out why she was so heavy on my mind. And then I was watching some episode. I had it on in the background while I was working on something else. And the way she said the word interesting, I was like, oh my God, that's Michelle. She doesn't act like Michelle, but it's the exact same vocal inflection. Like I had to go look up to see where the actress is from. She's from the U.S. Virgin Islands, and Michelle is from Baltimore, but has lived in New York forever. I don't understand the overlap there, but literally they pronounce everything the same way. It's the best. The janitor. I love everybody on this show. I was proud of Quinta before, but now I'm like super proud. And now I understand. Cheryl Lee Ralph won her Emmy. Correction. Cheryl Lee Ralph earned her Emmy. And I was happy that she got it because, you know, it's Cheryl Lee M.F. Ralph. But now I'm watching the show and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I think that's the only thing I've watched. I've been waiting for my show to come back. It's the finale of Diara from Detroit. I'm completely obsessed with this show and also with Diara Kilpatrick, who stars in the show. So she's like the star of the show, the writer of the show, the creator of the show, and her husband is the showrunner. I was like, oh, y'all are getting all the monies. I mean, it's on BET Plus. I don't know how much they're paying over there, but whatever they're paying, they're getting the lion's share of it. So good for them. It's a really good show and it's getting great traction. I have very selfish reasons for promoting it for free the way that I do. I needed to get a second season. That's all. I think Diara Kilpatrick is amazingly, phenomenally talented. I love her writing voice. I love her, for lack of a better description, awkward Black girl persona. It's not Issa and it's not Quinta on Abbott Elementary, because that's another awkward Black girl. Lord God, she awkward. But they just awkward and weird and strange, but also like quite human and relatable. I'm very protective of all of those characters. Like I want them to win. I want them to be safe. But I'm very obsessed with D'Ara Kilpatrick and the way she approaches art. I want all the best and all the wonderful things for her. And then also a season two. What else do we have? I guess we'll stick to TV. Brittany Griner is going on Robin Roberts May 1st. And congratulations to Brittany Griner and her wife, Cheryl Sherrill. I said this the whole time Brittany was locked up. If you don't love me like Cheryl Sherrill loves Brittany, do you really love me? Just Cheryl was like, fuck that. Brittany ain't getting stuck over there. I'm getting my wife home. Love me like Cheryl Sherrill loves Brittany. I read they're expecting. They have a baby on the way. I don't know if they gave a due date or anything like that, but good for them. Congratulations to the happy couple, the wife and wife on their growing family. But yeah, but Brittany Griner, I just saw clips of it. I teared up. This has something to do with me being abroad. I teared up watching the clips. I mean, Robin Roberts will do that to you anyway. I just saw Brittany detailing what her life was like in, what's the word? It's not prison, work camp, penal colony. But yeah, she talked about like the sheets were dirty. They had blood on them. How cold she was. Sentenced for 9 years. It was just the clips, just teasing the interview. So it didn't give all the details. But I was like, I will be tuned in to watch that live. I was very invested in Brittany being arrested and also getting Brittany home. I think it's every expat's, I wouldn't even say expat. I think people who travel, especially people who travel to places that are quote unquote off the beaten path. Like if you're American, you know, if you're going beyond the Caribbean, beyond Mexico, people are like, why are you going all the way over there for? And nobody really thinks it's a good idea, especially as a woman, even in Brittany's case, like a woman who's 6'9", traveling alone, God forbid anything should happen to you. People tend to blame it on you. You ain't had no business over there anyway. What you think would happen? I think that's most people who travel abroad. I think in the back of their minds, there is a deep fear of what if I can't get back home? And it's one thing not to be able to get back home because of money. That can be figured out for a lot of people. But getting locked up abroad, it's something that exists in the back of your head. In America, I test the rules a little bit. I'm fully aware that I'm a Black woman and little grace will be given, but I feel a little more comfortable. At least I can, you know, hire a lawyer, speak the language fluently. Abroad, I have one friend that was locked up in international jail. There was a border crossing issue. And even with his American passport, they were like, no, no, no. So he was in literally an international jail for 2 weeks. He had to fly back to the States with the suitcase that he had for a 4-day trip out the country and the clothes on his back. And he was banned for the country, I think for 10 years. He doesn't tell the story publicly. So that's not my story to give details on. Hence why I'm not naming the country. I had another friend. He actually talks about this shit pretty openly. He got locked up in Dubai for having weed on him. And I want to say it was like a life sentence. He got let out for Ramadan like a year ago. I don't want to give his whole story because he's actually writing a book about it. But it's a fascinating story. Black dude, super connected, lovable. He's a friend of a friend, but when we met, we just sort of clicked instantly, like in a brother-sister kind of way. I'm just happy his black ass is home. But yeah, the locked up abroad thing is real and serious and unfortunately does happen. Brittany's story, for me as an expat, just, I was worried about that girl. I know she's twice as tall as me. I know she a grown-ass woman. I know Cheryl Sherrill was on it. I don't pray for everybody. Like, I sent up a general prayer, but like specifically, like mention that lady in my prayers. Like, please, Lord, protect this woman and bring her home. It's the least I would want somebody to do for me if my black ass got locked up. This just in. Body Odor is officially canceled. For good this time. Unlike certain other DOs, Lumi Whole Body Deodorant is powered by mandelic acid to deliver outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere from your pits to your feet. And yes, even your privates. In fact, it was patients' concern about private part odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi. Fast forward 6 years, and her game-changing whole body deo has now earned over 300,000 five-star reviews from people like me, who love smelling great and feeling confident from head to toe. Now, admittedly, I was nervous about using Lumi, but I wanted to try something new. And Lumi works. I just stick to pits, but it's also good for underboob, thigh folds, belly button, butt cracks, vulvas, and feet. Lumi is clinically proven to block odor all day and control odor for up to 72 hours. I know you're like, how is that possible? Okay, unlike certain traditional deodorants that try to mask odor with a fragrance, Lumi is formulated and powered by that mandelic acid that I mentioned. It stops odor before it starts, which makes Lumi more like a pre-odorant than a deodorant. Lumi Starter Pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that equals over 40% off their starter pack. Use code RATCHET15 for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's code RATCHET15 at LumiDeodorant.com. We have good Black news. I knew about this last week and had it on my notes. I don't know how I didn't mention it. Nelly and Ashanti are engaged. I am tearing up, oh my God, and expecting their first child together. I am happy like this is family. I didn't know I felt this strongly about Ashanti. Ashanti just announced this pregnancy. Remember there were speculations that she was pregnant and then she never said anything. She just started wearing those real big t-shirts and boots. And everybody was like, okay, she's not wearing form-fitting clothes and she's not constantly on vacation with the bikinis anymore. Like something's up. But she hadn't said anything in so long. And I was like, oh, maybe it was just a rumor. I know her publicist real, real well. It's also my publicist when I'm promoting something. But otherwise, just my really good friend, the Michelle I was talking about that sounds like the principal on Abbott Elementary, that Michelle, that's her. But Michelle is like a locked box at the bottom of the ocean. That lady started talking, she sink half the industry. That's not the point. The point is, I ain't even bother asking Michelle for verification because I knew she wasn't going to tell me. And even if she did, I wouldn't be able to talk about it on here. It would have just been me being nosy for no purpose. But no, Ashanti got to be like at least 7 to 8 months pregnant, if not more than that. She's super very pregnant. And I was like, ma'am, did you wait until like midway through your third trimester? I mean, it's your body. You do what you want. You tell us what you want us to know. You could also not have told us at all. But Ashanti has just revealed, I mean, like last week, that she is pregnant and engaged. She and Nelly look happy as hell. I hope they continue on this trajectory. I also hope that people can process that these are grown-ass people who are entitled to make decisions for their lives that others don't agree with. Every time I see a story about Ashanti being pregnant or even being pregnant and engaged, there's always a list of comments like, why didn't he marry her? He should have married her. She should have got married first. Don't carry before you marry. Leave these people alone. If that's how you choose to engage with your life, if you want to be married and then have a child, that is absolutely wonderful. And that is absolutely what you should do for your life. And if that is not the way that you choose to conduct your life, that's great too. These are grown folks. Folks are talking about Ashanti and Nelly like they're people in their early 20s. Ashanti is 42 and Nelly is 49. Like, come the fuck on, people. They know how babies get made. Ashanti is 42 having her first child. If you think that this was not a deliberate choice, and I'm not saying she went and got IVF, but at the very least, there was an intent. We're not going to use condoms and we're going to fuck. I call that a deliberate choice. I call that trying to get pregnant. She's having a baby for the first time at 42. This child was planned. She knew what she was doing. And so did he. He got kids. He know how babies get made. Leave these grown folks alone. Also, leave the 20-somethings alone, too. If you want to tell folks this whole marry before you carry thing, first comes love, then comes marriage, then comes the baby and the baby carriage. Like, if you want to preach that to teenagers and 20-somethings, I'm not mad at you. At the point that someone is pregnant, give it up and just start planning a baby shower. I got Brian McKnight on my list. I really don't want to talk about him because he ain't shit. No, let's talk about Beyonce's hair first. I think Beyonce's actually up to something. This is more important than the hair to me. She posted the hair video and then she posted a video promoting Cowboy Carter in a whole bunch of different country looks. And then she posted some pictures. And this was all within like a 24-hour period. And I was like, what is she preparing us for? Is she about to drop visuals? By which I mean a visual album. I told you before, I'm very pleased with the photography that she's been doing, with the videos that she's been doing on Instagram. That is carrying me through. I do prefer long form video visuals from Beyonce. I like to be immersed in her world. But I was like, I think something like that must be coming. I for sure as hell know she cannot possibly be doing another tour. I mean, she could. It's Beyonce. But I'm like, ma'am, you don't need to rest. Like, are you really superhuman? You don't want to rest at all? With the hair. Beyonce's hair video damn near broke the internet. I've said since the beginning of her dropping her hairline, I was like, sis, like, we need to see you using your products. And it wasn't even the idea of, like, you know, whether she has hair or not. I do remember the video where Miss Tina posted Beyonce and she was going through Beyonce's hair layer by layer. And you could see her scalp. Like, it wasn't a question whether Beyonce had hair for me. For some people, it was very much like, okay, all you wear is wigs. We never see your hair. Do you even have any hair? Because we can't see it. But my concern was, we need to see you using your products. Essentially, you're dropping this hairline. And there's been talk about the science of it and things like that. But primarily, this is a celeb hair care line. And just as a consumer, we just want to see you using your ish. Like, part of the reason I think that Tracee Ellis Ross, her hairline is so effective is one, because people had hair envy for her for years before she even dropped the line. But also, she used her product. Like, we saw her with her product. The same thing with Rihanna. Like, we see her in her lingerie. We see her in her Fenty. We're like, okay, like, my fave uses this product and I want to look like my fave. I want to have the lipstick color of my fave. My fave wore this t-shirt and I see it and I have this connection to this shirt now because my fave has it. That's the appeal of celebs moving product. I have a note that I keep on my office, and because I don't have an office in this apartment, it's actually on my refrigerator door, but it says a brand is just a perception. A product is a souvenir. It's actually a quote from Jay-Z, but I was like, buying into sacred, buying into anything that a celebrity promotes, if you wouldn't necessarily buy it if it wasn't a celebrity attached to it, you're buying it as a souvenir. You're buying it as a connection to someone whose personality, persona, image, music, art, whatever you want to call it, that you've invested in. So I think people were, I think some people, because some people it really was just about, like, I just want to see if she got some hair. But I think there was a whole segment of people who were just like, I want to see her using her product. I want to know that she's not just, you know, slapping up some Instagram posts or slapping her name on it, that this is something that's authentic to her. She dropped this video where she's shown parting her hair in many different directions. So you can see her scalp. It shows her at the shampoo bowl. The hair is getting wet. Shows the hair being blown out. So you can see it in all different stages. Getting the silk press, then getting it curled. I watched the video and I was like, yes, I believe that we are seeing Beyonce's hair. She has a ton of hair. I knew she had hair. I didn't know how blonde the hair was. I thought it was her hair. Many people watched the video and was like, she's damn near a billionaire. She has like HD 4K lace fronts. That's still not her hair. I guess in the video, like, there's a part when they're like, somebody's combing her hair and she's holding her forehead. And people are like, yeah, that's what I do when I have my lace front on. That's a lace front. And I was like, do you really think that Beyonce would shoot a hair video while wearing a lace front? That's actually, I think, possible, but would actually do lace front behavior. And if she did, would actually keep that clip in the video. Like, you really think that? I mean, I know AI can do a whole bunch of things, but then there's video where it's like zoomed in, like she's at the bowl getting her hair washed and it's zoomed in on her edges. You really think she went through all that trouble? People were like, oh my God, because Sacred wasn't selling. Was it not? I've not heard Number the First to make any sort of analysis about whether it was selling or not. I was like, people just be saying anything. I understand people love a good conspiracy theory, but I was like, really, you really think that she waited all this time to actually make a video about her actual hair, which people have been basically demanding for months now? You really think she just waited all this time to release the video and then wore a lace front? You can't convince some people of anything. What else is on our list? I really don't want to talk about Brian McKnight. I think he's such a shit human. He's reached a new low with this one. Brian McKnight is currently married. His current wife, she's from Hawaii. She had two children from a previous relationship. And then he and this new wife have a child together. Like, maybe he's two or approaching two. And then Brian McKnight was previously married and had two children with his previous wife and then two other children from other relationships that he has. So this most recent incident of ain't shit father behavior, he referred to his bonus daughter as his one and only daughter. And again, he has another daughter. Brianna, in fact, is her name. So somebody asked, they were like, oh, I wonder how your daughter feels when you make these references to your bonus daughter as being your only daughter. And this man says, well, first he says, you know, she, as in Julia, he was like, you know, she feels great. He quotes Exodus, the part about honor thy father and thy mother. He says that his bonus daughter honors her parents and they in turn honor her, and she knows how proud they are of her. So when he gave that Exodus quote, a commenter responded to him and said, hey, the same God that you're quoting in Exodus also said, quote, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is older, he will not depart from it. The person continues, your children are a reflection of the work and prayers and spirituality and moral compass that parents pour into kids. You disown kids that you created, and you are also against God, but judgment day is between you and your maker. So hashtag carry on. Brian McKnight responds, this is where it gets even more batshit. He says, God wasn't talking about children that were products of sin, which these are, referring to his first four children. He says, I didn't raise them, their mothers did. That's on you. You their father, why didn't you raise them? He says, know the whole story before quoting the Bible. Take your inaccurate negativity off my page and try to be happy. Sir, what did these children do, in his opinion? I just want to know, like, through his lens, what did these children do that was so goddamn awful that he refers to them as products of sin? Like, you created them. They didn't ask to be here. You made them. After the first one, surely you know how babies are made, and then you made three more. Like, and then two of the children, and not that this matters in any way. I don't think children, whether your parents are married or not, are born into sin or any of that. I don't believe in that. But two of the children you're not acknowledging are from your previous wife. Like, there was a covenant of marriage. You might have gotten divorced. Things didn't work out with you and your ex-wife. Like, so be it. But those children were born into a marriage. Now, if you didn't raise them because you were out on the road or you was out being ain't shit, that's on you. And then products of sin, like, mofo, you was sinning. That's you sinning. That's not on the kid. You're still obligated as the creator, literally, of these humans to acknowledge them at least. I mean, you don't want to, like, financially fund them, so be it. They are all grown. But, like, you can't even acknowledge them. Like, you're referring to your children, your actual children. You're not even debating that they're not biologically yours. In fact, that's not something you really care about because you're claiming this new woman's children and they're not biologically yours. I can't. What the fuck is wrong with you? Even if you don't fuck with your kids, like, you feel like your kids only care about money. Your kids are awful mofos. I mean, that you raised or their mother raised, but you're their father and you weren't there. That's still on you. What the fuck is wrong with you that you would say that about your kids? Privately, bad enough. But even publicly, like, what do you hope to gain by telling people that you consider your children from your previous marriage and previous relationships? Again, the people, the humans that you created. Products of sin. That's some shit you got to resolve with you. You the one that was sinning. You need to go to church and rectify that. But to take this out on your kids like that, to shame and embarrass your children, to humiliate and insult your children this way. Also, I wonder about this lady that's sitting up in his house, his wife. I say this all the time. A man will never do better by you than he does by his children. If he don't take care of his kids, if he don't do right by his kids, he will never do right by you. Literally, it's his blood pumping through them kids' bodies, and he still don't give a shit. If they are disposable, you eventually will be too, as soon as he ain't feeling you no more. The same way that he treats his children with his ex is the same way he's going to eventually treat your children when he's over it. And those older kids don't even have a biological tie to him. Oh, he's going to do much worse. He's going to show this Hawaiian lady his whole ass in a matter of time. And she's going to go around telling people, I don't know what happened. He used to be so sweet. He wasn't. He wasn't sweet to his kids. He wasn't sweet to his ex-wife. He didn't keep these people's name out his mouth, not in public, not in private. he gonna show his ass on this lady too, and she gonna sit around. I'm so confused. I don't understand. You will. I'm gonna feel bad for the kids. You grown ass Hawaiian lady, you see him being not shit and you sitting there okay with it. And I tell you, she's okay with it because she's still there. There's a bunch of people that would be like, oh my God, this is a red flag. I didn't see it before, but I see it now. I got to get the fuck out of here because this man is crazy. She's sitting up in it because he's been like this for a minute. This is not new carrying on. He's been carrying on like this for a minute. I think even before the baby was born. You might not learn today, but you're going to learn. Also, because I need to say this sometimes, people like, D, you be talking about folks? Like, your shit don't stink. No, I be talking about folks because I know what stinky shit smell like. When I say a lot of things, it's not from a place of being on a high horse and looking down on people. It's from a place of like, no, I've been in some bullshit. I can spot it much better now, having been through it. But I'm not speaking down to you. I'm speaking back to you. I'm not above you. I'm just a little ahead of you in some respects because I'm real fucked up in other places too. Let's keep it 100. Some parts of life I'm doing really great at. Other parts, the complete shit show. I don't feel the need to tell y'all about it though. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. You're a listener of this show. You know that I am adamant about therapy. I think everyone should try some, especially the people that don't think they need it. And if you've ever questioned whether you do, you absolutely do. Go now. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. I love how easy BetterHelp makes it to access professional help. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ratchet today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ratchet. Hey there, overwhelmed foodies. Are you drowning in a sea of meal kit options, feeling like you're in a bad dating game where every contestant looks the same? Fear not, because amidst the chaos, there's one shining star worth your culinary affection. Home Chef is not just another fish in the meal kit sea. They're the gourmet catch you've been dreaming of. Say goodbye to swiping left on lackluster meals and swipe right for the one brand that'll make your taste buds swoon. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. And this is my favorite part. It's not only convenient, it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. And the food is delicious. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 18 free meals, plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/ratchet. That's homechef.com/ratchet for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. Homechef.com/ratchet. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert. Speaking of shit shows, I guess we had to talk about Chris Brown to talk about Jill Scott. We'll work our way backwards into the story. I've said this 100 times. I do not understand this compelling desire to self-destruct, particularly from Black women, over ain't shit Black men. It happens over and over and over and over. Some Black man does some dumb shit and some Black woman who is in relative good standing rushes to his defense. And then people don't even talk about the dumb shit the Black man did. They just start talking about this dumb bitch. And I'm not calling Jill Scott a dumb bitch. I'm quoting what people on the internet are saying, as opposed to the inappropriate actions that the man takes. The pent up energy that should be directed towards the man goes directed towards the woman. This desire of a certain sect of Black women I see younger women on the internet being like, that's that Gen X shit. Don't put me in that shit. I don't know. I don't always have the perfect take, but defending a nigga's dumb shit ain't my ministry. That's that older Gen X. Jill Scott and Erykah Badu are that 50 plus Gen X. That could be a different Gen X than the folks on the cusp. Like, I'm 6 months off being a millennial. Xennials, we not perfect, but we don't believe in falling on the sword over nigga shit. I just also like to point out to the millennials, y'all got some pick me fucked up people in y'all generation too. It's not a generational thing. It's a fucked up thought process thing. Don't put that on us. I know y'all inherited some trash from us that we didn't clean up properly. I fully acknowledge. We inherited some trash from previous generations they didn't clean up. We are all doing our goddamn best here. But fucked up thinking ain't an age thing. It's just a people thing. And yeah, I am saying Jill Scott's thinking is fucked up. We'll get into that. Chris Brown and Quavo have this beef. From what I can understand, it stems back to when Migos was coming up, Chris Brown was very supportive of them. He worked with them. They had songs together. They were in the studio together. They kicked it real hard together. Chris Brown used to date Karrueche. They've been broken up, I think from what I've read today, 9 years. They dated for 3 or 4 years. They broke up in 2015. Okay. Quavo, one of the Migos. We have all age ranges and international audience for this podcast at this point. Everyone's not familiar. Okay. Quavo, one of the Migos, also dated Karrueche. It was never official. They did the we're just friends thing, but they were seen out at several events together and also vacationing together. I think there was something in Jamaica for sure. And then there was, I think, St. Martin on another trip. I think there was somewhere else. They were seen out and about often enough that there was heavy speculation that they were together. I don't recall them ever publicly claiming each other, but I don't follow Migos or Karrueche or, for that matter, Chris Brown like that. Later, Quavo dates Sweetie. I can't name you a Sweetie song or pick her out of a lineup. Pretty girl, though. I've been seeing her pictures all over the place for the last couple days. I think they dated for 2 or 3 years. Put a pin in that because this comes up later. Chris Brown is angry and has been angry for some time with Quavo for dating Karrueche. It was explained to me that the issue is not necessarily the woman, as in Karrueche. The issue is the disrespect of them actually being friends and Karrueche being his long-term girlfriend, somebody that he cared about, but who also eventually got a restraining order saying that he like abused her, punched her in the stomach, pushed her down the stairs, restraining order on him for 5 years after they broke up. Not the point. Well, it could be. Put a pin in that too. But he was with Karrueche forever and a day. He felt very strongly about Karrueche. I hesitate to say love. I don't think love and abuse go together. Maybe he felt territorial. I think that's fair about Karrueche for sure. But he feels Quavo violated man code by dating Karrueche. So he's had issues with Quavo for years. And it just came to a head recently. Chris Brown made a song. I'm sorry, I had to pull this up on Billboard. I wanted to make sure I got the lyrics. It's on a song called, the album is 11-11. The song is called Freak. It's featuring Lil Wayne, Joyner Lucas, No Relation, and T Grizzly. It dropped April 11th. And the lyrics are, fucking my old bitches ain't gonna make us equal. Sipping that 1942, cause I don't do no Quavo. Freak bitch, she like Casamigos, not the Migos. So people thought that that was a reference to Karrueche. Billboard notes here that Karrueche and Chris Brown broke up in 2015. And then Quavo and Karrueche started being seen together in 2017. When asked if they were a couple, Karrueche said, no, we are not. We are just friends. But this is after they've been spotted on vacation and dates and things like that. So earlier this year, Chris Brown and Quavo were sat next to each other. Chris Brown drops this verse. Quavo responds to Chris Brown in this song called Tender. I just pulled this up on Genius. The chorus is, you did the bitch wrong. That would be Karrueche. Why y'all gotta call this lady a bitch? Y'all was both with her allegedly for years at a time. Was she a bitch when y'all was quote unquote in love with her? She just a bitch now for the sake of y'all argument. This public pissing contest that y'all are having about a woman that left both of y'all. Okay. You did the bitch wrong and now the bitch gone. She posted with the thug. I guess that's supposed to be him. I don't think she ever posted him, but maybe she did. This is Quavo. Call the bitch phone. She won't come home. Don't beat her up. It must be the drugs. It must be the drugs. Need to cross out your plug. It's an allusion to many people speculating that Chris Brown is a high-functioning, at times, drug addict. Allegedly, he has a severe coke problem. It would explain so much. Reading through these lyrics, there might be a bunch of subliminal stuff. You know, Migos, they don't really talk in full sentences. There's a repeat of the chorus. There's the next part that it seems to explicitly be about Chris. There's other things. It says, when I fuck on that little bitty bitch, Karrueche's very small. I think that could be a reference to her. When I fuck on that little bitty bitch, yeah, she do great. Suck it. When you fuck on that little bitty hoe, Jesus, yeah, she lose weight. Trust me. Huh? Is this in English? He continued, wiping your nose with the tissue, not wiping no snot. Tell me, little bro, what's your issue? It's over a thought. Why Karrueche gotta be all this? You said it's bigger than that. It's big, but no, it's not. It's cause I be digging in that. You dig, it got them hot. It got them hot. I gotta read this in the cadence for it to make sense. I'm giving respect, shit, but I know you not. Your bitch on my neck, your bitch at the spot. Oh, God. That six-year-old I talked to last week formed better sentences. Jesus, my head hurts. So Chris Brown drops those first lyrics. Quavo responds with Tender. And then Chris Brown responds with Weakest Link. When I listened to it, my mouth dropped. One, I mean, Chris Brown has rapped on verses before, but primarily Chris Brown is known as a singing dancing nigga. We know he got anger and aggression issues, mostly towards women, but I don't think most people knew Chris Brown could rap like this. People know he's gully. People know he has no bottom. I don't think that shocked people, but if people never heard Chris Brown rap before, and I've marginally followed his career, I was a huge Chris Brown fan before the Rihanna incident. And even after that, until he started acting up on Karrueche, and I was like, oh, this is a pattern. This isn't a one-off. Let me see if I can find the Weakest Link lyrics, because there's so much. I want to make sure I don't miss anything. It starts out with an alleged, and it's credited here. I'm on genius.com. Chris plays a voicemail from Quavo where he says, hey, Chris, I don't want no issues, bruh. I don't want no smoke. I don't want to fight you. I don't want to do nothing, bruh. Like, please, bruh. Quavo seems to be pulling a J. Cole. He's telling this man he don't want no smoke. And yet, the next lyrics are from Chris Brown. He says, who wants smoke with me? Who wants smoke with me? Who wants smoke with me? Who wants smoke with C? Oh, dear. The man said he didn't want smoke with you. Like, you just played the voicemail. He said he don't want smoke. But apparently you want smoke. Oh, Chris. He says, let's get down to the facts. Pussy. I'm dripped in red. Chris Brown is allegedly a blood. He became a blood in adulthood, not as a teenager. He says, don't let this R&B shit fool you. Niggas get ripped to shreds. Quavo talking like he a thug nigga. You a bitch with dreads. Oh dear. Can't wait to see the day that you back up all that shit you said. What's all this boss shit you talking? You ain't no huncho, nigga. You the weakest link out of your clique. Let's keep it a hundo, nigga. Damn. You fucked my ex-ho. I think he's referring to Karrueche. Sir, why you calling this lady a hoe? Y'all been apart for 9 years. 9 years. You keep this lady's name in your mouth. 9 years. 9 years it's been. You fucked my ex-ho. That's cool. I don't give no fuck. Clearly you do, because you're mentioning it in the song. Clearly you do. But he doesn't give a fuck because, quote, I fucked your ex when you were still with her, bitch. I'm up. They say revenge is sweet. Now think about that shit. Remember I said that Quavo dated a woman named Sweetie? That's a reference to her. Chris Brown is inferring that he had sex with Quavo's girlfriend while they were still together. So you might have had sex with Karrueche after we broke up. I had sex with your girl while you were still with her. This may or may not be true. I had her fiending about that dick. There's something sweet about that shit. I got some tea about that bitch. Why she gotta be a bitch, Chris? I ain't gonna speak about that shit. So he's saying that he knows more than what he's putting in this song. Continues. I ain't playing chess with a checker player. I'm a ticking bomb on the detonator. Hard line. I shit on niggas. I'm a defecator. I ain't know Chris had it in him. I'll put Amigo on a ventilator. Stop talking about beating girls. You was beating bitches on the elevator. Once again, the quote unquote bitches he's referring to, Quavo's ex-girlfriend, Sweetie, who Chris claims that he also had sex with. Is this Tupac and Biggie over Faith all over again? Jesus Christ. There is, in fact, a video. I didn't remember this. I don't know how this one slipped me. It's in black and white, but it's pretty clear. Quavo and Sweetie are getting on an elevator. I'm going to go ahead and assume they're at a hotel. It seems Sweetie is trying to keep Quavo from leaving. She tries to snatch a bag from him. He manhandles her, ends up throwing her in the elevator in which she lay slumped on the floor for quite some time. The elevator seemingly goes, I say down, but it could have gone up, went to another floor. The door opens. There are people waiting to get on. Quavo doesn't exit. He kind of blocks the door because Sweetie's laying there on the floor. The elevator closes again. Eventually, she gets up. I don't know if the clip I saw, I don't think showed her getting off the elevator, but she was moving towards the exit. He never explicitly punches her or slaps her, but she didn't end up on the floor by herself. They're tussling over these bags and she actually falls, but she is injured in the back and forth. I don't think it's quite the same as Chris Brown beating the brakes off Rihanna, but it ain't much better. With this video available in a Google search on the internet, he really shouldn't be making domestic violence references about anybody else. But Chris says, we seen the tapes, which we did. That's devastating, which it was. Chris continues, you doing bad. You a bitch and your music's trash. There are no metaphors. There's no innuendo. There's no subliminal. I think that's straight to the point. He says, quit talking about drugs. You the only pack I've been smoking on. Jesus. He said, your last album was a weed tray, just some bullshit that we roll up on. No metaphors. No, not very straightforward. He says, you know it's on, night, night. That's Sudafed. Show me that I'm tender, bitch. Time to prove what you just said. Rest in peace, Takeoff, who was one of the Migos who got killed. He's the only real one that got true respect. Crazy how when he died, everybody really wished it was you instead. Jesus Christ, Chris. And Chris knows. People said, you tripping, Chris. Don't say that. Don't lose your head. Chris justifies bringing up how people wish Quavo was dead by saying, quote, this is what happens when a fuck nigga push a real nigga out on the edge. This what happens when a dumb nigga get fame and it get to his head. You gonna kiss this ring, nigga. Big fuck you for my middle finger. I'll tattoo my trigger finger. Basically, I'll shoot you. He says, bring real beef to your dinner table. My mental state ain't never stable. I know this shit gonna sting, nigga. I'll run your ass through the ringer, nigga. You just got bodied by a stinging nigga. Bitch. I wish y'all could see my face. I really got to start doing these on video. That's a lot. You are in for a treat because support for today's episode comes from Jeanie Kane. I finally found a uniform I'm completely obsessed with. Jeanie Kane is a California brand through and through, and their staples make getting dressed easier than it's ever been before. Think minimalist and effortless, but totally refined. From luxurious cashmere sweaters and iconic accessories to elevated versions of all your everyday basics, not to mention the most incredible home essentials too, Jeanie Kane is here to help you live your best year yet. And for a limited time, our listeners get 15% off their first order. Go to JeanieKane.com and use the code RATCHET to get 15% off. Now, I love my Jeanie Kane sweaters. I get compliments every time I wear one, and they're so comfortable, I can live in them all year long. Also, what I love about Jeanie Kane is everything in their collection is designed so intentionally, so you can style pieces together without a second thought. I like to pair their sweaters with everything from classic denim to a simple dress for a look that's effortless and so easily put together. Find your new uniform at JeanieKane.com. Our listeners get 15% off your first order when you use code RATCHET at checkout. That's 15% off your first order. JeanieKane.com. Promo code RATCHET. Let getting dressed be one less thing to worry about. This song drops. People go crazy. Because as Chris Brown points out, like, he's a singing nigga. Many people in rap are beefing right now. I mean, there's Drake, there's Kanye, J. Cole checked out, which God bless J. Cole, because he could be involved in any of this crazy shit. J. Cole was like, I'm a father. I'm 39. I don't want this smoke. I'm going to go journal. Good for you, sir. Good for you. There was one grown-ass man amongst us. Drake, Rick Ross, Kendrick Lamar, Kanye West, Metro Boomin, he's a producer. Somebody else is wrapped up in these beefs. But like, everybody in hip-hop is beefing right now, like actual bona fide rappers. Chris Brown, a non-rapper, just dropped like the most vicious and misogynistic verse out of all of them. Like, if you want to talk about like some gangster shit, like, this is some gangster shit. I think my first public comment after hearing this verse was like, I would fucking cry in the car. We know Chris Brown has no bottom, but just still, Jesus. I said Quavo shouldn't respond. I said it's time to move to Vermont and make jam. Go to Zanzibar and drink wine on the beach. Like, you could build a nice life after this. There should be enough Migos money that is spent in moderation. Quavo should never have to work again. Like, you're just after this verse, there's no coming back for that. He tried, though. We'll read it. There's a little bit of stuff in his response, but it's nothing on par to what Chris Brown said and the way Chris Brown delivered it. I'm reading you the lyrics. Like, Chris Brown's delivery is far better than, you know, me reading like a second grade teacher at Abbott Elementary. The day after Chris Brown drops this, Jill Scott wakes up one morning and she decides, and many feminists who are also hip hop heads were like, God damn, Chris. Speaking specifically in the sense of it being a battle rap, his delivery, the singing nigga is also a rapping nigga. It wasn't around long enough to really get into the misogyny of it all, which many people up and down my timeline, ratchet and respectable, were going crazy over this song. Jill Scott, for whatever unknown reason, decides that complimenting the song is just not enough. I saw several people on Twitter who were talking about the song, who also went on to talk about Chris Brown is talented on many levels. Like, he sings, he dances, he acts, he paints, he does all this shit, and now we found out the nigga can rap. Jill Scott wakes up the morning after this song is released, and she says, at Chris Brown, she adds him, this is on Twitter, Chris Brown is amazing. Chris Brown has amazing talents. Is Chris Brown amazing? Given the things that we publicly know about Chris Brown? If Chris Brown's mama wants to make up and call him amazing, I mean, that's a choice. That's his mother. Okay. But just given that all that we've known about Chris Brown in the public eye over the last, I don't know, what, 15 years? Actually longer than that, probably pushing up on 20. What compels you, knowing all the shit that we know about Chris Brown, his confirmed abuse of at least two women? I mean, we've got the picture of Rihanna. We've got the details from the restraining order from Carucci, where she played the voicemails and showed the text of him threatening to kill her and said he punched her in the stomach a bunch of times and pushed her down the stairs. And then there's also tons of women who've accused him of forms of violence and abuse over about a decade. What compels you to wake up one morning and say, you know what? I need to go on my social media pages and just decide I need to tell people about how amazing Chris Brown is. But she's very effusive in her praise. She says, how does anybody sing like that? Dance, look, act, and rap like that. Beyond gifted. She's not wrong. The day before, just like I mentioned, I saw tons of people praising Chris Brown as this multi-hyphenate, multi-talented, excels at all the artistic things that he puts his mind to. I don't think anyone's ever doubted that Chris Brown has immense talent. I don't understand this need to defend his talent. Like, who was questioning it? I don't think she phrased it in a way that really worked, but she wasn't saying anything much different than half the internet at that point because everybody's geeked out about this verse. This is where she got fucked up at. She says, it appears exceptional people have to go through exceptional fire. There's nothing to debate. So like, look, Chris Brown has gone through some exceptional shit, some exceptional trials and tribulations. Nearly all of them that the public is privy to is shit he brought upon himself. It's not like, I hate to use this example, but it's just what's top of mind. Meg Thee Stallion, her mother, father, and grandmother are deceased. That's an example of exceptional people have to go through exceptional fire. Like, have to go through. Like, she didn't cause her parents or her grandmother, her core support system, to pass away. That's something that happened to her. That is an example of someone having to go through exceptional fire. Chris Brown, the exceptional fire that he's been through is not shit he had to go through. He didn't have to beat Rihanna's ass. He didn't have to push Karrueche downstairs. He didn't have to threaten to kill the lady. Those are the two biggies that people hold against him. He also didn't have to throw the chair against the window at GMA because he was mad that Robin Roberts asked him about beating Rihanna in his first big major interview after he beat Rihanna. I mean, I know I'm an English major and I have a tendency to parse words, but I also think that Jill Scott is a wordsmith, a poet, and lyricist. Like, she writes her own shit. Words mean things. And trying to position Chris Brown is like, oh, he's had to go through exceptional fire. Like, these things happened to him. No, that nigga did all that shit to himself. Between that, the alleged drug use, the constant beefs, the flip outs on social media all the time, the long string of women who've accused him of abuse. This wasn't done to him. He did this. The exceptional fire that she's talking about he's had to face, it's not exceptional fire. It's actually one of the few people that's halfway held accountable for some of the shit that you've done. One of the few. And he's still not held to it the way he probably should be. Because he's another one of those once-in-a-lifetime talents similar to R. Kelly. We've talked about this before, how people love a talented Black man. So someone responds to Jill Scott. They say, hey, you're talking about how great Chris Brown is, and you're talking about, you know, the exceptional fires that he's had to go through. The woman says to Jill Scott, she says, I think the women he's abused would disagree. It's not clear if the woman is talking about if the women that he's abused would disagree with his exceptional talent or disagree. I took it when I read it as they would disagree with exceptional people have to go through exceptional fire. I think it's the passiveness of it that the woman was calling out, because again, I've never seen anyone debate whether Chris Brown has talent. Jill Scott responds, it makes shit worse. She says, I doubt it. My mother's ex-husband was a mean, violent human, and he could lay foundation better than anyone in my city. What he did with cement was awe-inspiring. This man beat the fuck out your mama, and probably you too. And for whatever reason, you feel compelled to talk about his awe-inspiring cement laying. I ain't never seen nobody lay some cement that was awe-inspiring. Really? Really? His cement laying was that fucking awesome. You feel compelled to mention his good traits while also speaking about how he beat the brakes off your mama and likely you too. Really, June? Really? She sums up their life with that man as, you know, we got away and he got a raise and praise for his ability. God dealt with the rest. Like, you don't see nothing wrong with that, June? Like, yeah, so like he beat the brakes off my mom, but like his work with cement was awe-inspiring. Girl, what? Put it to you in a different way. For people who are like, I don't see the problem. Like, what's the issue? You know that there's white cops and they go shoot up Black kids, and in some major newspaper, very often the New York Times, goes and writes like some glowing profile of the person who's accused of murdering somebody's Black kid. Kid ain't even been buried yet. But the New York Times or some like-minded publication goes and writes about how this man who just killed an unarmed Black kid or Black man in cold blood writes about how they're a family man, how they never missed a day of work, how they went to church, how they were a deacon, how their family was respected, how their neighbors raved about them, how they were a pillar of their fucking community. And everybody's like, nobody wants to hear that shit. The motherfucker could have been all those things, but you don't think that the defining characteristic about his life right now, that he murdered an unarmed Black person? We get very riled up about things like that. And we're just like, why are you trying to position this person as this upstanding human when clearly they're not upstanding if they did this horrible shit? Your mama's ex-husband beat the brakes off her and probably you too. And you want to sit here and talk about how he laid some goddamn cement and you think that I don't know, is equal to? I wouldn't say she negates it, but you think that's equal to or is even worthy to be mentioned? Like the fact that he beat the brakes off you and your mama isn't the defining characteristic in your head. It's, well, he beat the brakes off us and he could really lay some cement too. I need people to get off Twitter and get into therapy. She strikes me as somebody that actually goes some more or goes somewhere else. Because if this is the way that you're thinking about a man that beat the brakes off your mom and probably you too, you're not well. And you probably shouldn't be tweeting, especially about anything regarding DV. Because the messaging that you're put out is trash. Your mind ain't right. Your lyrics, some songs, amazing. She says this dumb shit. The internet starts dragging her. Ma'am, why? Why? Your name was never really in good standing in this particular area because you defended Cosby too. But like you jump into this conversation for what purpose? People were talking about Quavo. People were talking about Chris Brown. People were talking about Karrueche. People were talking about Saweetie. People were talking about Rihanna. Even ASAP had peeped into the conversation a little bit because all of these connections. No one was sitting around thinking, I wonder what Jill Scott's opinion is on this Chris Brown thing. I would love to hear from her. Giving a fuck when it's not your turn. You jumped into this conversation and people aren't saying really nice things. It's not like people heard you say this and they're like, you know what? I really like Jill Scott's take on this. I'm gonna go stream some music. I'm gonna go buy an album. I'm gonna go book a ticket to a show. You're not even promoting anything right now. I can see if you were like, all publicity is good publicity. Like, let me just get my name out there so people will start talking about my new album or my new show or my new whatever. You're not even doing that right now, sis. You just gave a fuck when it's not your turn. And for what? For what? To quote another line from The Wire, I think this was McNulty. It could have been bunk though. You laid down with dogs and now you got up with fleas. Why, Jill? Why? Why?
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
I said Quavo should have been done after Chris Brown's response, because there's no coming back from that. There's really nothing that you could say. Even if you, you know, find some information, even if you find out, you know, Saweetie did or did not cheat. Quavo responded. He did, I guess, like the best he could. As I previously said, it's time for him to move to Vermont and make jam. He gave a response. It's called Over Hoes and Bitches. That's his take on why Chris Brown is mad at him. I'm like, why these women got to be hoes and bitches? Because they left you? Because you believe Chris Brown when he said that he slept with your chick and he didn't? Quavo's a man. You know men lie on their dick. Maybe he slept with the lady. Maybe he didn't. Just because he said it don't make it true. Okay, so hoes and bitches. The misogyny runs rampant. I'm reading this on XXL, their credible rap news. It says, pretty nigga pull up. Crash out about your bae. I hate reading Quavo's lyrics because this shit is barely English. Basically, pretty nigga pull up. You're crashing out about your ex. You fucked up your bag when you punched Rhea in the face. Talk about fashion week, you sparing who? Come punch me in my face. Quavo, do you know who you saying this shit to? We know he ain't rapped too tight. And he know he ain't rapped too tight. Like, he just told you, and he's actually said it many times over the years, my mental state ain't stable. You telling Chris Brown to punch you in your face? Chris Brown will actually punch you in your face. Like, he will do that shit. And I think it's important to add, one of the reasons that I don't post about this on Instagram, I talk about it on Facebook where the audience is a little older. I can talk about it here where the audience is a little older. I don't want to personally participate in, because this is like, this is a battle for dick supremacy, right? I don't want to participate in these ego wars between these two dudes because they're not stable. I have faith that Drake, Kendrick, J. Cole, Kanye West can all beef about whatever they're beefing about, and this will just actually stay on wax. Kanye talks a bunch of shit. Kanye got a reckless mouth. Kanye is not swinging on anybody or pulling out a gun. Neither is Rick Ross, neither is Drake, and neither is Kendrick. Chris Brown will swing on your ass. Will he pull out a gun? To my knowledge, he hasn't done it yet. It wouldn't surprise me if he did. Quavo, to my knowledge, has not had a violent incident, but you can see the weak egos on display here. Men with weak egos are subject to do all types of crazy shit. They're unstable. I saw somebody write online and they were like, so, you know, Drake, Rick Ross, Kendrick, like they can just battle it out and it's fine. But they were like, for this, like Farrakhan needs to get involved. Who was it that Farrakhan had to do the sit down with before? There's a reason they said Farrakhan. Hold on. Was that the Ja Rule 50 thing? Yeah, it was. Russell Simmons asked Minister Farrakhan to intervene between Ja Rule and 50 Cent because they were going back and forth with murder, murder, murder. This ain't much better. Chris Brown has threatened Quavo. Quavo is telling Chris Brown to pull up, which if unchecked will happen. He says, punch me in my face, pussy. It ain't nothing but a fade. You know you lost to Frank. Apparently Chris Brown and Frank Ocean got into a fight. I've never heard about this until today. There's some question as to who won. Quavo says you lost to Frank, but I've read other accounts that said Chris won. I don't know. He continues. He says, niggas ran in your house, tied up your aunt because you ain't pay. It's an allusion to Chris Brown having a drug problem and folks ran into his house because he owed money. And then he says, this bullet got your name. Don't even bring up take. Yeah, we need an intervention because these are two very weak ego men arguing over women that they ain't with no more. Quavo continues. He says, and again, I'm still reading this on XXL. They're leaving a lot out. I'm going to have to go read this somewhere else. Quavo raps, little boy want to die about some coochie. Bow. You still fucked up about Karrueche? Damn. You tried to beat up Tiana, no cap, but Usher wouldn't let you do it. We saw some video of that. He continues, the cocaine got him, your honor. Bipolar disorder, no wonder. You was the greatest nigga. I told you, everybody thinks Chris Brown is talented. Even Quavo. You was the greatest nigga. You fumbled. Going out sad. I'm watching you crumble. Let me go pull up the actual lyrics. Because there's a line about Michael Jackson that people keep. Hoes and bitches. Let me go pull up the lyrics. He says, I call your hoe for pussy. Hit your hoe for pussy. I did a favor coming to save you. But you gonna owe me pussy. I'm on the edge, don't puss me. You work for the feds, you pussy. Commit a crime and ain't did no time, can't fake it. We know that you pussy. Pussy, 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 nigga. Kindergartners have a more vast vocabulary. Jesus. Time after time, I pull up and wipe me a little baby nose, dropping a dime and pillow talking, because Chris mentioned that Sweetie had told him shit about Quavo. And pillow talking to these bitches and hoes. More bitches and hoes. Jesus. Glitter and gold. You've been exposed. He continues. This is verse 2. Little boy want to die about some coochie. This is, okay, we're back to the chorus again. We're threatening death, Jesus. You still fucked up about Karrueche. You tried to beat up Tiana, but Usher wouldn't let you. I know Tiana and Usher, Saweetie, Karrueche are all somewhere. Like, how I get in it? why they got Quavo out here going back and forth with this singer that turned to a junkie, never got light skin versus brown skin, nigga fitting divide, nigga, God, I can't read this shit. Nigga, you ain't been in the trenches. We stomp in the yard. You know how that ended. I haven't watched Stomp the Yard in years. I have to look this one up. Chris Brown's character was killed. This is according to Genius.com. Chris Brown's character was killed at the beginning of the film. I don't remember that. But again, we're talking about killing people. Like, we're going a little far here. He says, you want smoke with me? OHB. What does that mean? OHB. Okay. That's a rap crew formed by Chris Brown. He released two mixtapes. So it stands for Original Hood Boys. Quavo's song over Hoes and Bitches, OHB, is an allusion to Chris Brown's rap group. Who gassed you up to put that out? Yeah, that was shitty, nigga. I can take a model bitch and make a sweetie, nigga. Sweetie has responded and said, like, I'd like to see you do that. Like, please let her post. He continues, crackhead Michael Jackson, bitch, you better beat it. I'm still fucked up about Takeoff. I want whoever did it. But that's some real street shit. Back to the industry. Where your baby mama's at? Know they got plenty tea. So I think that's an open call to the mothers of the children. There are three to maybe holler at Quavo if they got tea to spill. Kind of like what 50 did with Rick Ross. When 50 and Rick Ross were beefing at their heaviest. I want to say he took Rick Ross's baby mama, one of them. I don't know if there's one or more than one, but he took one of the baby mamas or the baby mama to the Gucci store and she bought up a bunch of shit. And then 50 was on the cover of a magazine and the baby mama was bent over and 50 was on the floor shooting a camera up her skirt. It's bad. I was like, how much did he pay that woman for that shit? But then also, how much child support did Rick Ross not pay for her to do that shit? Quavo continues, pussy, every time you see me, keep that energy. Can't believe I gotta beat you about some woman beef. Okay, and the rest of it is just the chorus again. So that's where we are with this Quavo, Chris Brown beef. Quavo tried E for Entertainment, but not really that entertaining, not in comparison to what Chris dropped. Again, an intervention is needed because they talking about killing each other and both of them strike me as emotionally unstable. So I would not like to see this in there. I don't think there's much hope for Chris. Many have tried over the years, all have failed. But maybe Quavo can, you know, maybe J. Cole can reach out to him. He could have like a come to Jesus moment and also book that flight to Vermont. Career-wise, as a rapper, he can be a producer. But as a rapper, I mean, I guess if Rick Ross and Ja Rule barely survived. 50 Cent, does he still rap though? I feel like 50 Cent took him out and then he pivoted and started doing those like fake-ass festivals. Did he go to jail for that? I know he went to jail for something. I can't remember if he's jailed for that. Anyway, Rick Ross continued to have a career after 50 Cent, and that was a very abusive dragging. But I feel like this even goes to like another level because Chris Brown is unhinged. What I think the most important part of this whole beef, and I mean, I guess it comes up all the time, is like women who have literally been used as punching bags by these two are now punchlines in their songs. Like they dropping hoes and bitches back and forth. Like, if you want to call Chris Brown a hoe because you beefing with him, like, okay. If you want to call Chris Brown a bitch because you beefing with him, okay. Like, he called him pussy 50 million times. And even though it's got his own misogynistic undertones, using a body part heavily associated with women, and I say heavily associated because not just women have vaginas, but that's a whole separate thing. But you're using a body part associated with women as a way to insult a man. But at least you're not directly insulting the women that you actually, like, dated and cared for at one point in time. Especially in Quavo's case, if we're talking about, like, two women he was in long-term relationships with. But, like, all these hoes and bitches flying and, like, these two dudes, like, beefing hard body, mostly over Karrueche. Like, you turned this woman into a Helen of Troy. Does she want either one of you? If Chris Brown is so very insulted that his friend would then go on to date his ex-girlfriend, like, if you mad about that, just say that. Like, Karrueche don't owe you shit. Like, you'd be like, oh, they were together for years. He also beat her ass. Like, she don't owe you shit. So you really can't be so mad at her for dating him. But if you're mad at him, then just be mad at him. I don't understand why Karrueche has to catch all these strays as being like a hoe and a bitch. Chris Brown, she hasn't dated for 9 years. I think Quavo, they broke up like, I think there's a 2-year gap between when she broke up with Chris, according to what I'm reading, because you never know like what's in real life with this. She and Chris Brown broke up in 2015. She started dating Quavo around 2017. But then he was with Sweetie for about 3 years after that. So all of this beef is literally for at least 5 years old from Karrueche dating either one of them. I would say, like, is the pussy that good? But it's really not even about that. It's like, are your egos this small? To which the answer is yes. But I don't understand. I mean, and it would take more emotional work than either of them are capable of in this moment to be like, hey, man, it's not about the woman. It's about the betrayal. And I'm mad at you. And so I'm actually just going to focus my energy on my anger with you. I can't just be mad at you. I have to degrade every woman involved in this situation and use women as punchlines and betray trust or divulge details that could have huge impacts on other people's careers in order to just take this minuscule jab at you because I feel like you betrayed me as a friend. Saweetie, maybe she did or did not cheat on Quavo. If she did, it wasn't public knowledge until Chris Brown said it. And not even said it because he has an issue with Saweetie, said it because he has an issue with Quavo. She's just collateral damage in all this. Fuck what it does to her career. Fuck what it does to her mentions. Fuck what it does to, like, her friends and family, people who know her in real life, calling her phone and actually being like, girl, what? Or just people putting your business all over the international media. Because again, I'm in South Africa and it's being discussed. No concern whatsoever for the women involved in this. Quavo is just taking direct jabs, like literally calling Rihanna by name. This shit is from, like, I don't know, almost 15 years ago now. You're just bringing up this woman's traumatic shit for no reason but to make it a punchline. The same way that Chris is talking about, like, you beat Saweetie in an elevator. I wouldn't necessarily say beat. It was far more physical effort than needed to be exerted given the situation. You're bringing up this traumatic situation that this woman experienced just as a punchline. Women who've never really done anything to you besides either love you, feed you, and or fuck or suck on you. That's all they've ever done. And they just become collateral damage in this big dick supremacy contest that y'all are playing out on the internet. For what? Like, what is the end result that y'all want here? You want him to undate Karrueche? He wants Saweetie to unfuck Chris? Like, where do we go with this? Because the way they're talking to each other, this greasy way of talking, they will run into each other at an award show and neither one of them have the emotional capacity to just be like, oh, this was just internet shit. This was just talking, blah, blah, blah. We just going to piece it out and keep it moving. Neither one of them. This shit's going to be ugly. Chris Brown said he's not responding to Quavo. And that's not out of emotional maturity. That's out of there's no point because Quavo ain't really come with nothing. Karrueche won't, but I wish she would. I wish in the middle of this, I said this on Facebook, I wish she would announce like a pregnancy, an engagement, a marriage. Since she's getting all this free publicity, a new sitcom, a new movie, a new starring role, something. Her name is in everybody's mouth. I would also appreciate it if she just became a complete agent of chaos and be like, you know what? Both of y'all dicks was trash and your meat was small. You couldn't fucking keep the rhythm. Even the singing, dancing nigga. Just chaos. Just cause chaos. I said that on Facebook the other day and somebody said, I wish Rihanna would drop a song featuring Saweetie and put Karrueche in the video. I said, I wish ASAP, since they bringing up Rihanna, the mother of his two children, who doesn't acknowledge any of this shit. She's a billionaire. She don't care about none of this shit. But just on the GP of it all, like ASAP's a gully nigga from Harlem. I just wish he would pull a Will Smith and be like, hey, 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 keep my baby mama's name out your fucking mouth. It would be nice. You want to go chaotic? Then let's go chaotic. The problem is this chaos involves Chris Brown and Chris Brown has no bottom. It's actually quite best if Saweetie, Karrueche, ASAP, Rihanna, if everybody just pulls a J. Cole and it's just like, yeah, we're going to go journal instead. Treat it like it's beneath you, even if it is not. Let it all out in the group chat, the family chat. But there's a part of me would love to see the chaos. I just can't believe these two. Actually, I can, because it happens all the time. It's not far-fetched. But they're really like having this major beef, like threatening to kill each other over women that neither one of them are currently with. And it's been over for years. It's not even like a fresh breakup. Niggas. With egos. All right. That's the episode. We'll be back on Friday. Talk soon. Hopefully I get some sleep. Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.